Hey, yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music. I am the Crown Prince of Charisma, Mo. With me is the King of the Casters, the Chief Defender of the Faith, Mr. Brett Podcast. Brett, how are you doing?
I am alive.
You are alive. Excellent. We are really excited because we have an excellent guest. At least we're pretty sure he's going to be excellent. The pressure's on now. Sir, we have a tradition here. I could introduce you, the lead singer, Pretty Boy Floyd, but our tradition is for you to introduce yourself by telling everybody who you are and why you're awesome.
Kind of like David Lee Roth would do, like on one of his shows or something. Welcome, everybody. This is kind of like that.
Kind of like that.
Everybody out there, hey, I appreciate being on the show here. This is Steve Summers from the band Pretty Boy Floyd. Happy to be here, and let's go for it.
Now, the first question I have, you know, it's an easy one, is do you prefer Steve or sex?
I prefer Steve.
You prefer Steve. Okay. All right.
I prefer Steve.
Yeah, is that not... when did you drop that from the liner notes?
From the liner notes?
Yeah, being Steve's sex
I think that was dropped after the first record.
Yeah.
Yeah, we all dropped our little nicknames that each one of us seemed to have come up with them, you know, for each other out of nowhere. Yeah, don't think we sat around and said, like, hey, I'm this and that. You know, we had each guy going, like, you know what? You are this and that and this and that. And so we're going to call you this. I'm like, okay, all right.
So they called you sex. All right. That sounds like a story right there. But really, that's too bad, though, because we were planning to call this episode Live Sex. So,
well, that might get a few more listeners. So whatever we really need to do, there's no really any rules or laws in here. So I still get it all the time. I mean, I did, you know, 10 interviews in the past few days and they still wanted to stick with that. You just asked me what one I prefer.
But, there you go. You know. Well, it's amazing because it stands out. I mean, I remember getting the album when it came out and that just to this day I still remember Steve Sex Summers, you know. That's it's funny.
Yeah.
Poor you. I'm sorry.
in the world of glam rock with all the trickery and all the you know, from the Nikki Sixes to the this and that to the that and this, you know, yeah, it just sleazeballed in there somehow.
That's all right. Let's talk about the new record here, if you don't mind. I understand
I think that would be a fabulous idea.
Fabulous all idea. Right. All right. Well, you know, I understand that Frontier Records is the ones who came to you guys. Is that right? To looking for you to do a new album?
Yeah, they came to us or our agency and, you know, liked what we were doing or liked our background and stuff like that. And they are doing they're a great label. We love it. I mean, it's great to be, you know, on there with, you know, what, Whitesnake and Warrant. And I don't know, they put out a Journey record, Night Ranger, and the list goes on and on and on, especially with other great, you know, metal bands and a whole diverse, you know, set of stuff. So yeah, they came to us and so far so good. They're really, we're really happy with them.
It's got to be nice to have a label that's got your back, right? Even in this day and age, the business has changed, but it still means a lot.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, they're the first label in a while that, you know, isn't just like maybe, you know, signing us and just have a record and just flop it out there somewhere and, you know, sell off, you know, 10, 15 tracks and, you know, it's on every hair metal holiday record and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I appreciate every label that did stuff with us, but no, this is actually, you know, a real label, you know, with a real, you know, radio team and a touring team and does, you know, festivals and has publicists and they seem to be very intelligent people and they really, you know, they dig what we do. So it's really cool.
Well, especially I dig what you do too. Okay, go ahead, Brett. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, especially in this day and age when it seems like almost anybody could have a label, it's so, you know, it seems so easy to do that it's nice to get somebody who actually, you know, understands the process.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, there are a bunch, several labels, or there are many bands that put out their own stuff and this and that, whatever. But, you know, all I could say is, you know, it's cool. It's an honor to be on there with, you know, I'm only naming those names because those are bands that I, you know, liked and still like and stuff. So, you know, so to be on there with Whitesnake and LA Guns and Warrant and like I said, I'm a Journey fan and, you know, Night Ranger and all that. And like I said, all their other stuff that they do, all their really metal stuff and all that stuff. It's great. It's great. I mean,
so
Yeah,
I discovered that you had. Oh, so go ahead. Sorry. I thought you were finished there.
Oh, no. That was it.
Yeah, no, I discovered you had the new album out. I was told Brett, you know, a new album out from Pretty Boy Floyd. We got to talk to these guys. I went and took a listen, you know, and I'm three songs in and I'm messaging him going, I'm loving this. You know, Public Enemies, it how it captures the feel that I don't know, I'm missing. I don't get enough of that old school feel. And so how difficult is that? Is that this day and age, is it actually is hard to go back and kind of recreate the sound of an album that could have come out 30 years ago?
Well, it's kind of what, you know, it's kind of what we do best. So I wouldn't say it's the hardest to do. I mean, actually, a few of the tracks are actually tracks that were left off Leather Boys. You know, when we were recording Leather Boys, we did have like 15 to 20 songs. And, you know, so we were only able to choose, or we all as a label and everybody voted on, you know, let's do 10 or 11 or whatever. So some of the tracks are from that era, and some weren't finished. Some were, you know, it's what we do best. So, so even in the past years, over 5 years, 6 years, 10 years or so, it's just, I mean, we have a ton of material. But, you know, once me and Chris were, you know, we're seeing eye to eye and back together over the years, we kind of said, you know, man, let's just do what we do best. And, you know, what we do best is, you know, something that really would have been our second record, you know, follow up to Leather Boys. You know, that's not to say that would have been our greatest record or that, you know, we still have great music in us, you know, so, maybe this would have been our follow-up, and then maybe after that it would have been a greater follow-up, which we plan on doing. But awesome. That's what we do best. You know, we think that way, and that's how we do it. And so there wasn't any we got to do something different, or they're not going to get it. You know, it's all these years later. No. I mean, many bands that I'm fans of that have put out records, I mean, I've been a little disappointed. You know, I don't know. I don't know if they're trying to be more mature or they lost the zest of what, you know, I mean, this band was put together for, you know, sleazy glam rock, arena rock, you know, that, you know, loves the tour with a badass live show and all that kind of stuff. So that's still what we are. And that's just what comes out of us, you know. I mean, me personally, I've been working in the strip bar business for like 20 years, you know, managing and owning and DJing and all that kind of stuff. So it's kind of in my blood. And, you know, growing up, loving Kiss and, you know, digging, you know, early crew and, you know, bands like Poison and Alice Cooper and Sweet and Nick Gilder and all that kind of stuff. It's just, that's all fun stuff. That's all fun, this, that, whatever, whatever. And definitely people have not had a record like that in a very long time, unless you could tell me, unless I missed something. Yeah, I mean, maybe there's a few bands, there's a couple bands overseas, you know, some of those UK bands or so that have put out something that, you know, resembles the 80s stuff. That, you know, that's cool and all. Not that it's, not that it hasn't been done before, or they're doing it their way, but for bands like us, off of Sunset Strip, I really haven't, you know, caught that excitement and the thing, you know, the thing of, you know, just big arena rock, glam, sleaze, fun songs, you know, that actually make you feel like, you know, you want to party and that you're not 50 years old, even if you are 50.
Well, and I think we both appreciate the fact that you are willing to kind of stick to your guns and keep playing what you're best at right now, because it's so easy to get away from that.
Oh, it's the easiest thing in the world. That's why I said, I'm, you know, I could sit here and name all the bands in the world that was either not happy with, or I still have to put in their first record that was out in 1984 and maybe listen to their second one in 86 and 89 and this and that. So, yeah, I wish that was, you know, well, better for us. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. You know, we're just
definitely, you know, to some people, it would definitely take. I mean, our fans love it. You know, there might be a few musicians out there, which I could really, excuse my language, give a shit, that might go like, how could you still write about that? And how could you still this and that, whatever? And like, and, well, I mean, I don't respond back, of course, because I don't care. But it's just funny to read that. I'm like, well, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. My wife's 20 years younger than me. I met her on the road touring in France with LA Guns. I work at strip bars. I've owned nightclubs. I mean, what do you want me to write about? What do you want me to do?
Yeah, you are writing about your life still.
Yeah, that's what I like to do. So, I mean, if you want to talk about politics or talk about sports or this or that, I'm willing to talk about it, but I don't want to write it in my songs. You know, maybe that'll be for my second or third other band. You know, but not Pretty Boy Floyd. You know, our name is Pretty Boy Floyd. We did take that on, and that means kind of, you know, fun and excitement and sleaze and the Sunset Strip and having a good time. So, you know.
Well, you know, I was mentioning this to Brett because we kind of be, you know, binge listening to your music here, you know, and this new album a whole bunch and the other stuff. And your songs just make me feel good. I mean, that's all it is. I listen to the songs. I feel good. I feel like you guys, you know, I think it kind of pisses me off because, like, your style of music just doesn't get enough to me. Just doesn't get enough recognition. It doesn't get enough respect. I mean, there's nothing wrong with music that makes me feel good, but it's not that you guys totally don't have a message. I mean, you talk about the power of youth and right. I find your music's uplifting. I think it is very positive music, and there's nothing wrong with music that's putting out a positive vibe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, like I said, our fans love it. You know, newer fans love it. Fans that, you know, liked Kiss and Crew and all that kind of stuff, they all get it. And with social media, you know, it is getting out there the more people or so. But sure, I mean, it's just the bottom line is it's just not the music that is, you know, as we say, you know, the hippest thing in the world. I mean, you know, in this day and age, you know, you got the biggest hip-hop artists, you got the metal bands that are, you know, metal, which I love, don't get me wrong. I am a fan of all that. I love my Pantera. I love my Metallica. I love this and that, whatever. I appreciate, you know, like I said, I still DJ and all that stuff. I appreciate, you know, what the hip-hop guys are doing, some of them. You know, I mean, they're talking about having a good time. They're talking about chicks. They're throwing money. They're this and that, whatever. I get it and all that. But, yeah, sure, our music, sure. I mean, you know, from the early 80s to the, you know, to the end of the, not the end of the 90s, to like the 91, 92 is when it was at, you know, at its highest. And you know, but, you know, there's still a million of those bands touring, you know, off the hits of those records of those days. And that's great. And, you know, I'm a Bon Jovi fan. And it's great to see that, you know, that he, over the past, what is it, 10 years, 15 years, 20, you know, was able to come back and still have, you know, like a number one record and stuff like that. When, you know, with the It's My Life and those type of things, that was pretty cool, you know, to show that that type of, you know, music could still, you know, do something really good if it's, you know, done correctly. So, but I hear you loud and clear. You know, we are definitely, you know, different from what's going on. But then again, there's millions of bands out there that are still doing this, whether it's a lower level or overseas. You know, it's definitely caught on and all that kind of stuff. Probably hundreds of bands that are probably influenced by us. You know, the underground, you know, sensation of, you know, Leather Boys. You know, whether it sold, you know, what it did or didn't. You know, they're still like, whoa, that's classic glam. That would be cool to do.
Well, I think in our heads, we were talking about this, is we just think you're bigger than you, I guess, were. Like, because to us, that is, it embodies that era and that music and that style so well, you know, what right. You did. So, and again, I don't know, like, I was looking at the, Rolling Stone top 500 albums. And we just see, you know, albums are, it's just loaded with albums from the 90s, you know, rock bands from the 90s. And I'm not saying these guys didn't do some good music. I like a lot of these bands. I like a lot of these albums. So I think they're excellent stuff. But there's really nothing in there of that genre and that style. And except for a couple, you know, Hysteria, I think, is in there. And a couple other things kind of, you know, but it, to me, just the genre, like I say, why do you think it is? What is it about the genre that made people, was it the image that made them not respect the music enough?
Oh, I'm sure it was. Yeah, I'm sure it was the image and what we were talking about and just the whole, like, ah, these guys are just in it for, you know, fluffing their hair and getting the chicks. I don't know. I mean, or they spent more time, you know, fluffing up and making sure their outfits were radical and not as much on their musicianship. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? I mean, some of those bands had incredible musicians and some maybe not as much. And, you know, we never said we were the greatest, you know, musicians. We thrive on our live show, you know, the excitement and the thrill of our, you know, live show and all that. We're great as a band or so, but, you know, some of those bands had, you know, a couple virtuosos here and there, but no, I mean, I would say that, yeah, people look at that, you know, genre of, you know, I mean, you know, the, you know, yeah, the big hair, the leather, the this or that, guys jumping around, chicks flying all over the place, and they're probably, yeah, thinking it's, you know, it's not Rush. You know.
Well, I agree, it's not Rush.
And I do love Rush. You know, don't get me wrong. I mean, I grew up, you know, loving bands like Zeppelin and Rush and you know, Van Halen and all that kind of stuff. It just didn't fit in with what the time of what I wanted to do and stuff. You know, when I saw Kiss and I first saw early Motley Crue and Alice Cooper and all that, I went, well, I want to do that.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with, like, cultivating a look and cultivating a sound because, I mean, when you look at the Ramones, I mean, it wasn't necessarily the, you know, the musicianship that you were there for. It was the songs. And I think that that's, you know, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. And so I almost wonder if nowadays, you know, when it comes to the look, because you still have a very defined look, is that, you know, you're probably gathering more fans who are interested in that side too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, still, for us, it's still all the elements. I mean, for us, people are, I mean, since we still have our image and do our image and all that kind of stuff, people are just, yeah, we're getting new fans and old fans that are literally saying, you know, thank God you guys are still doing that, or wow, that's killer what you're doing. And I'm glad you stuck to what you guys do best and all that kind of stuff. So sure. I mean, for us, we're just doing what we do best, and we'll continue to expand and do that.
In 2017, 2018, here almost is. What is a live show from Pretty Boy Floyd going to be like? What's the set going to be like? What are you guys like on stage? A lot of the same stuff as you once were, or is it kind of a different act and you've gotten better and just changed yourself? And is Christy still setting his guitar on fire, or?
Well, we know we're not Kiss. We know we're not Bon Jovi, so we don't have that kind of budget, et cetera. So we try to do the most we can when we're able to do it. You know, sure, we sit there and we go, like, you know, we want the flash, you know, with the flash bombs and the fog and the things and the weather, this and the that, and we're gonna this and that, whatever. But, you know, I mean, sometimes it doesn't always work out, you know, on some of the stages we're on or what we're able to even do when we're on a bigger stage. You know, you guys got 35 minutes at this festival, and no, you're not lighting anything and blowing up things or this or that, whatever. But, you know, I'm not saying we would do that all the time, but, you know, our songs are such high energy and people know we have so much fun on stage that you're getting a high energy, you know, glam rock show or so. You know, once again, you know, nothing against any of the other bands or so, but, you know, I've seen lots of reviews from from bands that I've liked in the past or so. And sometimes they say, oh, it looks like they're just kind of going through the motions, or oh, a couple of those guys just look like they're this and that. And if you really look at what they're doing compared to what maybe they did in the 80s, maybe they are. Maybe, you know, maybe because they get paid, you know, five times more than we do, and they're just kind of this and that. But no, we take every show, you know, like it's the freaking Super Bowl, you know, when we're able to do it. You know what I'm saying? We can't make magic occur, but, you know, if we actually get a venue that says, like, sure, you can do that, and sure, you can do that, and sure, you can do this, and sure, you can do that, you know. But with the live energy of our show and the mixture of songs, either way, you still get it. You know, either way.
So what are some of the songs from Public Enemies that are on your set list right now? I mean, I got my favorite songs from the albums, like anybody would, but I'm kind of curious, what would I get to see?
Well, we've only done, say, you know, we've only done the record release show so far, but you'll definitely hear Feel the Heat. You'll definitely hear Girls All Over the World, since it was, you know, the first single and the other audio single. And then, you know, we're going to throw in We Got the Power. We might throw in We Can't Bring Back Yesterday. And then maybe, who knows, we might throw in, you know, 7 Minutes in Heaven or Shock the World. It's kind of a little bit up in the air right now. But for the record release party, we played those two. You know, we knew that, you know, of course, always people want to hear, you know, a lot of Leather Boys. And don't get me wrong, even some of my favorite bands, you know, I don't want to hear seven of the new songs in a set, you know, I mean, maybe if I had the CD for like a few months or 6 months or something, so I could actually really get into it, but not after a first listen or so. And, you know, all of a sudden there's seven songs in there. I know how hard it is to throw in one or two or three songs, but yeah, like I said, Feel the Heat for sure. Girls All Over the World for sure. And then we'll try to mix in, We Got the Power, 7 Minutes in Heaven, but there's a lot of them. Jesus.
Yeah, there's a lot of good songs on there. Yeah. I think Star Chase is a real good song. I like, High School Queen. I love that one. I mean, that's a really good song.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
yeah. So, I mean, you gotta, I mean, it's a strong album, right? I mean, We Got the Power, as much as anything, captures, I think, the sound of you know, Leather Boys. Like, just that song, again, feels like it could have been in 87. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I do think that's a nice, that's a one good thing. I know they want to hear the classic tunes, but because you got, because the songs are reminiscent of the old album, I think people will really groove to it pretty easily.
Right. All right, yeah, I mean, you know, as the album gets, you know, a little older than 3 weeks old, sure. and we, you know, start to do some more headline shows or so, and we're actually allowed to play, you know, an hour and a half, or who knows, maybe 2 hours or whatever. Sure, throw in five or six of those, or half of the record. It's all good. You know, me personally, I'd love to. I love them all. So you know, just kind of fits in with the, you know, the time length, and you know, actually people actually wanting to hear some of the other, you know, songs. You know. Where was, you know, they love to hear Wild Angels. They love to hear I Want to Be with You. You know, they love to hear Leather Boy. Well, they love to hear all of them. You know,
yeah.
Even the few that we don't play, you know, they want to hear those. So,
has there ever been that desire to perform Leather Boys in its entirety then in concert?
Well, we kind of, yeah, I feel you on that one. We kind of did that. I think we did that one time when we were attempting to have like a reunion show, and we did it in Hollywood at the Knitting Factory. And we, you know, we got Kerry, the drummer, back in the band. You know, we were trying to get Vinny to do it and so on. But so I believe we did do from back and forth the whole record. Yeah. I think it was Pretty Boy Floyd doing, you know, Leather Boys from start to finish. So I think we've done that one time.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, because it seems like that's such a popular thing right now for bands to. It's the 25th anniversary of the album, so we're going to perform it in its entirety. And I always find that interesting.
Right, right, right. Yeah. Yeah, what year are we on? I don't know.
You know, oh, yeah, all this stuff. Yeah, 1989, and
So, okay, I could ask about one particular song, because you brought it up there on the new album. And that's We Can't Bring Back Yesterday. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I know that guitarist Christy Majors, he put up an outlaw as I start playing it on my phone here. You'll excuse me. It's a hell of an album, though. But yeah, I mean, he put up a tribute video for your late bassist, Chaz, Vinnie Chaz, sorry. And so, Vinnie Chaz. Was it kind of dedicated to him in the studio? Was it something, or is it just kind of something he thought you think was appropriate? Do you have any idea kind of the history of that?
No, I mean, to be quite honest, you know, because we are very honest. To be quite honest, I believe it was a fan that put that video together and then might have asked us to put it up or so. You know, and I think sometimes when fans do something, they kind of go like, is it cool if we do this? And do you want to put it up or should, you know, or we can just send it over to you? So, no, I mean, it turned out to be like an extra tribute, you know, to Vinny, but a fan did do that. And no, I mean, the song, you know, wasn't written about Vinny, you know, as much as I love the guy and all that kind of stuff. It was just, once again, one of those songs, you know, going back to our youth and going back to, you know, the good times, the bad times and this and that and all that kind of stuff. So, you know,
it's pretty cool though. I was just going to say, it's pretty cool. A fan would do something like that though. They care enough. I mean, that's your fan base, right? And that's awesome.
Oh yeah. They do a lot of, I mean, I'm sure we're not the first band, you know, to fans to do extra cool things. I mean, someone actually at the record release party, we got a couple fans that, like they're making these little dolls of us, not dolls like they do in Japan, like these paper dolls. They're paper dolls, and they did it of all of us. And then someone came up to me at the whiskey show and gave me one of Vinny, and you know was very like emotional about it. And like, Steve, I don't want to you know bother you before the show and this and that. Whatever. I'm all, this is awesome. This is great. This is so I have one of. Of Vinny, of these new paper dolls that we're, you know, we're not selling a lot of them. It was a fan, and now he's a friend, and he does it for a few other bands, and blah blah blah. But no, the fans do all those great things, you know. the fans when you don't have a member in the band, whether it's you know for whatever reason, you know, I get messages all the time. Can you please put this person back in the band, please? You know, I kind of ignore a few of those because then I'd have to get into the long, deep thing of why they're not or what's going on in their life and all that kind of stuff. But no. But back to the thing of Vinny, you know, Vinny was, you know, we loved Vinny. Vinny was great. He was a hard worker. We lived all of our dreams, you know, when we were first putting that band together, you know, right off the Sunset Strip to getting our record deal to all the tours we did, and you know, until it all exploded.
You guys kind of, were there in the Sunset Strip in, you know, 87, 88 in that range, right? And the height, when it was the Sunset Strip that is now the stuff of legend. I mean, you know, flyering. I don't know if you did pay to play or not. I know you were at the Roxy a lot, I think, and kind of, the era and the time and the craziness, was it like, can it even be explained to somebody what it was like if they weren't there?
I mean, I know people read about it and see it and this and that, but like you said, yeah, if you weren't there, I mean, you know, for me, let's forget about if you weren't there. I mean, yeah, it was incredible. I mean, me even starting out years ago, going to see bands early 80s on the Strip or even at the Country Club in Reseda. Yeah, I mean, it was insane, you know, with all those bands, you know, all, you know, everybody from, you know, Wasp to Seeing Rats to early Motley Crue at the Country Club to, you know, it was insane. I mean, it was all those hair bands. It was a big, like, I mean, everybody was pretty cool. It was a big competition, but you know, all the bands were pretty cool. And, you know, some bands didn't talk to other bands and, you know, but at least it was cool that, you know, when you did shows, you know, you had all those type of bands on, you know, the show, you know, all those bands that are trying to do what you're doing or trying to, you know, do what's, you know, hot at the time. So it was really fun to do those shows. But no, it was insane, you know, with the flyering and the girls and the this and the that and the good Lord, putting our stuff up on all the, you know, telephone poles and walls and things and stuff. I mean, for us, we would, we kind of did it, you know, kind of the Poison way, and Poison was great. They know it and everybody knows it, but they were great at promoting, self-promoting, all that kind of stuff. And we kind of, since I was a fan of theirs and saw them when they were first starting out before they got big, you know, we just kind of followed their, thing of the promoting thing. You know, it's not like we saw Motley Crue. You know, I saw Motley in the very beginning, but I didn't see them, you know, flyering and all that kind of stuff. But for Poison, you know, we did what they did. You know, we were out every single night at every single different club, you know, whether it was Monday at the Whiskey, Tuesday at the Cat House, Wednesday at the Troubadour, Thursday at the Bear, blah, blah, blah. And it was awesome. It was fun. I mean, we were young. It was the hottest thing. And that's exactly what we wanted to do. I mean, even forming the band, you know, the 2 or 3 to 4 years that it took to find all the guys was still, you know, totally fun to do.
Did you have to do that or pay to play? Was that something you experienced or?
Well, we only did 8 shows or 9 shows tops, you know, before we got signed. So I would have to say, you know, our first show we did at the Country Club, in Reseda, we opened up, God, I hope I got this right. We opened up for Keel. And yes, nice. At that time, I think that was the one time that we, but every band did at that time. But from that show, we never had to again, because, you know, even our, before we played our show, our name was already so much out there, whether it was from flyering or we had the name out there looking for the final guitar player. So the name was out there a lot. And then when we actually, you know, with our management able to, we had really good management able to get our name out there with the big ads and all the stuff. By the time we did our first show, you know, people thought we were already massive. You know, we were already, you know, co-headlining with Keel for our first show. So after that, it was all headline shows. So no, so I believe we did it one time, you know, the very first time. But it was the easiest thing in the world for us. Not to say that we weren't working our asses off, but, you know, once again, we were working our asses off. You know, we put a hotline up there. We put, like, you know, the first, you know, 20 people that, you know, call the hotline, you know, we'll deliver the tickets ourselves. You know, we did it all and made it fun for the fans and stuff. So it was no problem. Yeah.
So you were really.
So yeah, we did it once.
Yeah. Right. So you really worked that marketing angle then, in those days, you know, to try to find new ways of kind of making yourself bigger than you really were, I guess.
Well, I think any band would take the opportunity if they had, you know, really good management or really good this. I mean, we definitely had a plan, or I had a plan, and I had a plan with our management. You know. Our first manager was, you know, was my brother, who was a promoter at that time and knew what he was doing and knew how to rent out clubs and had money. And so was able to put out the ads and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, I mean, even Motley Crue in the beginning, when they had, who's their first, manager's, I'm forgetting the name right now, you know, I mean, if you've got money behind you to be able, I mean, the bottom line is if your product sucks, it ain't going to matter how much, you know, you promote or you this or that, whatever, which a lot of those bands did. I mean, there was a million bands out there at Sunset Strip trying to do what we did, and it didn't matter how big their ads were, or how big their hair was, or how big, you know, if they didn't have, you know, the star quality and the songs and the stuff, they weren't, you know, they weren't just handing out sold-out shows and record deals, you know, and that's something we experienced ourselves with playing with all those bands. It was almost like, you know, yeah, you know, following bands to Guns N' Roses, which is a great band, and, you know, following bands like Warrant with, you know, with Janie and the great songwriting, and then kick-ass bands like LA Guns and Faster Pussycat. You know, they weren't, you know, you had to have some good songs. You had to have, you know, star quality. You had to have, you know, what it took to come off that Sunset Strip. That was not easy. So, you know, when we were, before we got signed and we were like the biggest drawing in like Southern California act, you know, it wasn't just from, you know, a full page ad in BAM magazine.
Did you know Janie very well? Did you know Janie Lane very well? Pardon me?
At the time of the strip and stuff like that, I didn't. I knew Janie more in the later years when we actually like sang on a couple records together, you know, like compilation records or tribute records and that kind of stuff. So I knew him more at the later time. I would say in those days we were a little more friends with like the guys in Faster Pussycat and LA Guns and stuff like that. That's why we, you know, did a lot of touring with LA Guns, and we were friends with a couple of the guys in that. Well, enough's enough. They're not from here, but no, didn't really, we did some shows with Warrant in the beginning once they, you know, struck it big, but, no, we didn't really know them that well. You know, a lot of times with those bands, of course, you know, you stick to your own little camp or so, you know, our camp and your camp and this and that, whatever, you know, it's, you know, that's not the first time that occurred. You know,
they had a hell of a stage show though, didn't they?
You talking about Warrant?
Yeah. Back in that era.
Well, yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, they were a great live band, you know, all this stuff that they were doing, you know, a fun, great live show with great songs, and Janie's a great singer and a songwriter, and you know, those guys are running around, they're putting themselves on each other's backs and on the shoulders and doing all their things. And sure, they were a very cool act, very cool five piece, you know, cool songs.
You know, I was thinking about you're talking about how you guys kind of, you're patterned yourself after Poison there to a degree. And I was thinking a story about Poison. They said when they got signed that they thought they were going to be driven around everywhere by limousines and it was going to be, now they had made it. And instead they found themselves, you know, working to help press the album to get it out there because they weren't planning to make that many copies. Like it was just a slap in the face that it is a business, right? I mean, I don't know if people know how, as much fun as you're having, you guys are working, like you say, you're working your ass off.
Oh, it's a business. That's for sure. Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, you know, with them, I mean, they went through a lot of stuff. I mean, once they, you know, signed their deal with Enigma Capital and stuff like that. And once, you know, the first single didn't do as great as they or the label or stuff wanted to do. And they had a push for that second video for Talk Dirty to Me. And then from there things, you know, blew up. You know, so yeah, you know, yeah, sure. All the elements of stuff are, you know, it's a business, and you gotta, you know, keep everything in line to make sure it goes correctly. But then, you know, once in a while, you don't have certain weight, you know, label people that are participating in the right way to make what your plan is, you know, to go correct.
Well, that's it. I mean, you guys, if Wild Angels had been your second single instead, you never know. I mean, you never will know because you never, I mean, I guess you had a plan to be a later single, right? You, I mean, you thought you'd be releasing five, six, I'm sure, songs from the album, right?
Yeah, we thought we would do at least, we thought we would sell 8 to 10 million records. We thought we were going to do at least five videos, at least, yeah. You know, probably two ballads, probably would have, even if it went in the order of, say, Second Night on Fire, I Want to Be With You, 48 Hours to Rock, maybe Leather Boys or Your Mama Won't Know, and then Wild Angels. You know, it could have been, you know, just like that. But once again, yeah, on the business end of it, you know, whether you were going to ask me or not or so, you know, with MCA, I mean, let's make this very simple. You had a bunch of people that wanted us to be, you know, their big rock band, like an Aerosmith or a, you know, stuff like that. But, and they had the money for it, but they didn't have the tools to do it. You know, so let's get that straight. And I mean, people know that. Every musician knows about MCA and their rock department and all that kind of stuff. So those people, they just didn't have the tools to do it. you know, they wanted to do it. And we delivered a great record. We delivered a great live show. We have, you know, things going on the radio, this and that, whatever. And it was in the right direction. But they as a label, I mean, it's a fact. This isn't one of those, Steve, this and that, whatever. It's a fact. If they, you know, if they would have gave us the exposure and done their jobs of, say, a couple of the bands that I won't name their names, you know, just got us on, you know, the proper radio stations, or got us on the proper MTV or the proper tours, or even just one of the three of those, you know, we knew that the fans would take it from there. But we can't, you know, we can't make magic. You know, you can't be a label and get us on Headbangers Ball at 2:45 in the morning, you know, every other Saturday and expect us to sell millions of records. You know, you can't get us on the best tours if you're supposed to get us on two or three of the best rock stations. But since you never did in your life, not us, them, and they don't know what to do or how to promote it, those are the things that we realized that they did not know how to do. You know, they knew how to sign a check. You know, they knew how to go, you know, what, you know, why don't you guys go pick, you know, what director you want for the video? You know, why don't you guys go this, and we got to hand it in, and you guys got to take it from there, you know? And we knew we had a problem when we started to hear some of their answers to some of the stuff, like,
you said you were signed after your eighth show. Do you think if you had held out a little bit more, seen who else was out there, and maybe let yourself be courted a little bit more, it would have been a good idea? Or do you ever think about that?
I would say that, I mean, with our type of music, and it could go both ways. We could have waited for the perfect opportunity, but what is the perfect opportunity? To be on Elektra or someone else that they have 5 to 10 to 15 of those huge bands, and then we are put to the side, you know, like, you know, well, Jesus Christ, we have, I'm just naming these names, we have Aerosmith, we have Metallica, we have this and that, you know, we'll give you guys a shot, but if you don't, this and that. Or do you take a label that maybe that, you know, it sounds good, you know, our A&R guy, Brett Hartman, I mean, that guy couldn't have been any more excited. You know, he was like, Jesus Christ, you guys are incredible, you're going to be the next kid. The merchandise, the shows, the songs, you know, and we did hot, you know, the label was, we just didn't know until, I mean, we could have went with their history, but they wanted to change that history. I mean, they told us they did. You know, we didn't really this. You know, our biggest rock band was, you know, some of Night Ranger in the past or Tom Petty. We really want to do this. We really want to do the hair metal and this and that, whatever, whatever. So, you know, it goes both ways. We could have waited forever and it could have never happened. Or we could have took what we did and took a chance, and that's life. You know, I definitely don't sit there. We're not the kind of guys that sit there and go like, oh, God, we should have done. Oh, God, we should have. It was what it was. I mean, at our highest level on this, you know, on the street, you know, we had offers. We had this and that. But we felt that they were going to give us the best opportunity to they really wanted us to do it. You know what I'm saying? They really wanted us to be, you know, their next big, you know, band. I mean, their words were like, we want you to be our crew or our this or that. So, you know, who knows? You know, I mean, hell, who knows? Maybe if a couple of our, you know, brilliant attorneys or brilliant people on the side would have said hold out, or, you know, one of my other clients is on this label and I really think it's a great idea. But, you know, we were young and that's what was going on, and it seemed like a good idea. And like I said, you know, it's hard to, that's, once again, I'll just turn that into a sports thing. That's like a sports guy taking a huge deal on a team that he might think, Jesus Christ, I don't even know if we're going to make the playoffs or the Super Bowl in the next 10 years. But, you know, so it was what it was. And like I said, our A&R guy was so excited and so whatever that, you know, we had faith that, and gave them such a great record and stuff that we were like, there's no way they could blow this. And they really did. It was incredible. And they really did. It was incredible.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, though, like you say, that idea of all it would have taken was one thing, you know, the right radio stations or the right, you know, getting you in heavy airplay on MTV. And, you know, everything could be completely different.
Not, hey, so. Hey, not even heavy, buddy, on MTV. just the basic stuff. Just the basic stuff that allows you for the fans to peek if you could be on Dial MTV. And that kind of stuff. I didn't even say heavy. I just said the basic exposure that you're supposed to get with any type of business. I mean, you can't open the best, you know, hamburger stand if you're not going to advertise a little or get it out there or this or that, whatever, whatever. I mean, they were doing things that we were just, our heads were spinning round and round. We were like, hello, you know, like, you know, we're getting bags of Glad bags of, fan mail from all these places and this and that, whatever. Are you going to tell me about Fox stations? What are you doing? do they disrespect you guys so much because, you know, your biggest, you know, hit over the last years was Belle Biv DeVoe, and now you're giving them, nothing against Belle Biv DeVoe, but now you're giving them Pretty Boy Floyd? You know, I don't know. I don't know what the hell. I don't know. But I got, like I said, I got to tell you, my head was spinning around when I was leaving a couple of those meetings at, you know, in the elevator. What the hell did that person just say? Why we didn't get on that radio station?
We get those kind of stories sometimes. We got Derek Davis from Babylon AD on, and he was telling us about how, you know, their second album, the one guy just, he loved the song Psychedelic Sex Reaction, and that's all he wanted them to do, and they didn't even think it was worth being a single, and they're doing up condoms with that on it, and the glow in the dark, and spending all this money on this song that's really not any good because he liked the title, and, you know, or a video where they had to pretend to be in a pinball machine. He thought, this is the dumbest damn thing I've ever seen. I refuse to do it even, you know, and it's just,
right.
You trust those guys, but they're flying by the seat of their ass too, I guess.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Pardon me?
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So you've been really generous with your time here. I'm just wondering, do you have any really good, like, I don't know, prank stories or really funny, kind of funny events that happen, things that something you could share? Hey, it's a podcast. We're uncensored. Go for it.
Well, God, many a pranks over these years. I can't even mention a few of them, I would say. Some, I think, fans would probably go like, what did you just say? You did what? You know, you had two hotel rooms, and you put what next to the guy's bed when he woke up in the morning? You know, or, yeah, there's too many to name, and they go beyond, you know, dropping stuff on someone's head on the stage or something like that. Yeah, we're pretty sick. I'm not going to say it's this exact lineup, but there's been a few lineups that, you know, had no shame to their game of the lifestyle on the road. So, but yeah, there's a few I can't even name.
All right, well, it's got to be one good story, one funny story, incident with a fan or something that you can leave us with something. What's your go-to funny story?
Go-to funny story. God, I've been doing that. You know, I want to say I've been doing this for so long or so, and I hate to disappoint with that, but I mean, don't get me wrong. I'll probably get off the phone and go like, oh my God, that one. But there isn't really one specific one that sticks. I mean, so many tour bus stories, so many, too many. No, I mean, well, I was just thinking of a couple ones, but, you know, there's too many of them. There's too many stories about, you know, what our tour managers did, you know, whether it's to, you know, get the girls, you know, for what the girls, you know, but that's a story that's been said a million times, you know, by David Lee Roth. But I would say some of the sick pranks, I can't even say. I can't even say, you know, but I can't even say. They're too sick to say. So I would just say that, you know, that's my best answer.
That's almost even better. Like, that's honestly, that's, you leave it to our imagination, and I'm going pretty sick places right now. So that's great.
Yeah. I mean, there's a few.
I can tell you want to do it off air.
No, forget that. But I can name a funny one or so, you know, being on a tour bus, you know, with, like, I mean, so much sex and stuff going on where, like, we hear someone, like, a girl, like, kind of, not yelling, but kind of asking for help or so, you know, because one of our guys, not this lineup, so let's get that straight, one of our guys got so, you know, wasted or something like that, and, I don't know, just finished having sex with her, and he fell asleep on her, you know, in a... you know, in the bunk, you know, so she's, you know, and on top of her. So, you know, that's pretty funny. You know, like I said, I got to leave a lot of the stuff out, but, you know, that was a good one. We still joke to him about that one to this day. He's not in the band anymore. He's a friend. Whatever. I'm not going to say a name, but, you know, to party and then have sex in one of those, you know, bunks on a tour bus and then fall asleep on top of a girl. That was pretty amusing.
That's a good one. I like that.
That is, absolutely.
I like that. Again, our tradition here then is we'll let you go out here with something we like to call plug your shit. So please, it's your chance to do so.
Well, first of all, just thank you all to all the fans out there. And we all know that the record, Public Enemies, came out December 1st. I'm not going to name every one of our social media pages. I know people can find us, whether it's, you know, on the Facebook and, you know, Instagram and Twitter and all that kind of stuff. And we got a ton of great shows that are coming up, you know, that we'll be announcing. Our next show will be in Italy for our labels festival, for the Frontier Labels Festival in Italy. We might have something before that, but we're just planning a lot of touring, and we're shooting our next video in January, and we thank everybody that's, you know, liked so far the Feel the Heat. We got a lot of views on that one, more than we expected, and it's actually doing really well in, like, London right now. It's on one of the biggest rock stations in London. It's like number one requested or something, this and that, for Feel the Heat. And we just want to thank everybody, and we'll see them on the road. And once again, like we said, we're gonna make like 2, 3, 4, 5 videos, and thanks so much. We'll see you out there.
Awesome. And can we put a song on the end here? What song would you like us to put on if we do?
Why don't I let you pick?
All right.
Well, we'll have to scrap over which song gets chosen.
Yeah, there's a lot of good ones there. All right. Well, thank you very much, Steve.
Do your people like the heavier stuff, the poppier stuff? What do they like? Or a little bit of everything?
They like a little bit of everything.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
They like a little bit of everything. But, all right, well, we'll keep something from the new album, and because there's a lot of great stuff on there. So, I don't know, Brett, what do you think? What do you want to do?
I don't know. I think we'll find something good. I'm not worried about it.
We'll find something good. we're going to put on, so that's right. So we're going to find something good because we're on High School Queen.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah,
I love that one. All right. Thank you very much, Steve. All right.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. And, thank you so much. It was awesome.
Oh, yeah. Best of luck.
All right. Thanks so much.
Good night.